This is how we're to understand our calling as a soldier, an athlete, as a farmer. I'm so thankful that the Lord gives us illustrations like this of, Psalm 23. He says, the psalmist says, "The Lord is my shepherd," as a way of understanding God's provision and care for him personally and his need. Or Jesus in John 15, "I am the vine and my Father is the gardener." As we understand, how do we live in him? We have to stay connected to him, and he is going to see that we are fruitful. We have to stay connected to him. I love these pictures when we have that. We'll look at these three: soldier, athlete, and farmer. But before we get to that, as thinking about our own strength of just, it's not a matter of grit, but of grace. Because we see verse 1, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And the pictures he's going to give, they require a lot of work. It requires sacrifice and discipline, and it will be difficult, but it's not a matter of our just conjuring it up in ourselves. It is a gift from God. Be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, remembering who he is, what he has done for us, that the gardener is going to give to the vine everything that it needs to be fruitful. So be strengthened in the grace. And this is one of Paul's last letters. He's writing to Timothy, a young man, and he's wanting to encourage him. And he says in verse 2, "What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." And this is helpful because it's 2 Timothy 2:2. So 2:2:2:2, you just see this multiplying effect. That's a good way of remembering this verse. "But what you've heard from me," he got it from God, and he's entrusted it to Timothy in the presence of many witnesses. And that's important because in the first and second century, there were a lot of teachers who came in and said, well, the apostles had all this other teaching that they didn't tell anybody about. It was a secret thing, and we have access to it. And if you buy our book and subscribe to our YouTube channel, we can give you the secrets of the early apostles. But no, Paul's saying, you heard it in the presence of many witnesses. It's no secret. It's what you've heard. That's what I've entrusted to you. And I want you to take that and entrust it to reliable men who will be able to teach others also. In the Nicene Creed, we talk about the church. We are one holy apostolic faith, which means we are sent, but it also means this is rooted in the teaching from the apostles. What we received, people like Timothy, they recorded and have handed down. And so we have this succession that goes back, and we know that it's trustworthy. So this is what he's talking about. So share in suffering, then we get to our pictures. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, no soldier gets entangled, it's a good word, entangled in civilian pursuit, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. When I was growing up in the 80s and 90s, there were these commercials, army recruitment commercials, and they ended with "be all that you can be." And they were inspiring. I mean, they made you want to, enlist. They were very effective. It was a picture of someone who was commissioned, who was sent, who knew what they were about. They had this wholehearted devotion. A soldier. This is the picture that Paul gives to Timothy to understand his calling. And we're here in Boone, North Carolina in October, near peak weekend, and we're in a vacation town. It's beautiful, and people come here on their breaks from work or whatever. So we don't routinely think about our lives as warfare or have a wartime mentality. And so we need the Bible to give us the right categories of thought to know how to understand who we are and what we're called to. We are soldiers. This is how we're to understand our work. Now, we remember that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and the authorities and over the cosmic powers in the heavenly realms. And that's why we take up our full armor of God for the work that he's called us to do. A soldier comes with authority. They don't ask permission to go into places. They don't go through immigration. they come in on a military transport to a military outpost. They don't get their passport stamped. They come with authority and with confidence. And again, Paul was around a lot of soldiers. He had a lot of familiarity with them, knew them by name. He had been chained to many of them for many months and years of his life. So he knows what he's talking about as he's thinking about an army that has an outpost. And so if we've used that same thinking, then we should understand what we're doing here. This is an outpost of the kingdom. It's not only a gathering where we worship the Lord, but it's also those who have been called by him. This is a colony of heaven in the country of death, where we get renewed, we get our orders, and we get sent out as soldiers. And his key thing is, don't get entangled in civilian pursuits. They're trivial things. They're things that should not occupy our attention. A soldier doesn't get distracted. They have a mission, and that's what they're about. They're not distracted. So we can think about, you know, social media. There's a lot of content on social media constantly churning. But a question we can ask is, a soldier serving the Lord, how much time a day should they spend on social media? Just something to consider. YouTube. Since I started talking, there have been 5,000 hours of new content uploaded to YouTube just since I started talking. So if you were going to watch that and you spent 8 hours a day, including weekends, it would take you 2 years just to watch all the new things. And by that point, you'd be 2 years behind. So just again, something for us to consider. How much time does a soldier on a deployment spend on media? A soldier is wholehearted. They still are going to attend to household needs, though, right? Soldier still has to help clean the dishes and put away the laundry and these other things. But they're not involved in things that entangle or that would hinder our maneuvers, our mobility, our movement forward for the sake of the gospel. So a soldier serves wholeheartedly with focus, without distraction. And then the next verse, verse 5. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. An athlete. We know that an athlete, to be successful, it requires training, and they're pursuing that and not comfort. An athlete, if they're going to be effective, they're going to reorder all of their life around their sport, their fitness routine, their training, their diet, what they don't eat, when they go to bed. When I was in high school, I had a good friend, Andrew, who was a wrestler. Actually, now he's the wrestling coach at the school where he went to. And there was one Friday night. We were out at Wendy's, and a bunch of us, we got burgers and fries and Frosties. And somebody came up to Andrew, an older man in our church, and they said, "What does a wrestler who's trying to make weight on Saturday morning eat at Wendy's on a Friday night?" And Andrew kind of laughed, and he popped open the lid of his cup, and he showed him ice water. That's what a wrestler eats at Wendy's on a Friday night when they're making weight. And then we went on to a movie. Andrew went home because he wanted to get rest to be ready for that meet the next day. This is what athletes do. They shift their priorities. They expect that there's going to be difficulty. They undergo this difficult training for the sake of the prize. They're motivated by what they're expecting. They want to participate in that. They'll undergo this strenuous self-discipline for the sake of the prize. And this is a picture that Paul gives to Timothy to understand his calling. How are you going to walk this out? It's going to be reordering of your life and your priorities for the sake of the goal that's ahead of you, which we know in Philippians, that we may know Christ. Press on to make him known. In 1 Corinthians, Paul unpacks this idea of an athlete even more. Chapter 9, verse 24, it says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things." Diet, exercise, their social calendar, all these things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I don't run aimlessly. I don't box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. So an athlete endures discomfort, waking up early when they would rather sleep in, when it's dark outside and cold. They get up because of the goal, the reward. Again, this is not as a way of salvation, but it's because their new life in Christ, this new identity, has reshaped and reordered how they're living. And it's evidence of their new standing that they enter into this, are willing to sacrifice for the sake of the goal. And then the third picture, verse 6, it is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. If you think of a farmer, their lives are just, the word I think of is perseverance. There's a steadiness, there's a dailiness, there's a routine in season and out, planting and harvest. And in the off season, you've got to be doing the work of tending to your equipment. If you have livestock, then that means you're going to be pretty close to the house. You're not going to go off for months at a time. The needs of the farm necessitate that you be there diligently, faithfully, day after day, giving yourself to the work of farming. And we see this, Paul uses this elsewhere, the principle of sowing and reaping as well. But a farmer's life is not really glamorous. You know, it's that waking up early, tending to what needs to be done. Now, there's one exception to that. James Wilkes, if you follow him on social media, it will look kind of fun to be a farmer. But that's... we're limiting our time on social media. That's right. That's right. That's right. But no, the reason for that is more because James finds beauty and appreciation in whatever he does. It's not because of the farming, as his family could probably attest. There's, whether you feel like it or not, when that garlic needs to be harvested, it's, you got to do it. You got to, that's what farming requires of you. It's not a glamorous kind of life. You got to put on those boots and then the rain comes down and what do you got to do? Okay. Got to make adjustments to your schedule, but it is the hard working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. In other words, expect that this calling that God has given to us to entrust what we receive from him and we pass on to other people, this ministry of disciple making, this outpost of the kingdom, expect that there will be opposition. It will be difficult. Just like farming, there's going to be impediments and things that are difficult. So expect that it will be difficult and inconvenient, but also expect joy. Expect that there will be the fruit of righteousness and the fruit of nearness to Jesus. The hardworking farmer will be the first to share in the crops. There will be a reward. And then the next verse, so helpful. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. So even as we're doing this work of studying the Bible, sometimes you may think, I read the Bible, I don't get much out of it. Paul is saying, think over what I say. You do the work. Put in the effort. Study to show yourself approved. That's down in verse 15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Put in the time. Be diligent in your study. And in the next part of that verse, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. There's human study, human work, and then divine illumination. Our work and God's work, both are essential. In other words, we don't separate what God has joined together. Our study of his word and God's work of illuminating his word. We can't expect that if we only study without coming to the Lord expectantly and asking him to give us insight, that we'll get what we need to. But we also can't expect that we can just haphazardly look for a verse here or there. God, I need to make a decision. Help me. And just flip through and hope that a verse will pop out. That's not the way that a farmer tends their fields. They don't scatter seed randomly. They lay out the rows methodically, systematically, holistically. They're seeking to understand. They're making good use of what they have. You do the work of reflecting on God's word, and he will do the work of illuminating and giving insight. And it is a life-giving exercise. We can expect that there will be results when we do that work of thinking over what he says and expecting God to illuminate it. What else is interesting here is that he's saying that what he's writing, he's expecting God to give insight because he knows that what he's writing has been breathed out and inspired by God. So that's what we're reading here from the Apostle Paul. So the soldier is wholehearted and undistracted. What does it say in Hebrews? Laying aside every weight that entangles. He's not entangled in the civilian, the things that are trivial and that don't matter. He's able to discern what those are. He's wholehearted. The athlete is focused and has reordered their entire life over this sport to be able to participate in it, do it well, and receive the prize. The farmer works hard, diligently, day after day. When nobody else is watching, they're waking up, they're doing the work, they're putting in the time, and they can expect that they will have the first share of the crops. If we think about these things, understand this is our calling, God will give us insight to know how to walk this out. Now, then the next verse, he frames this all. He's framed it in the context of Timothy, you are a minister. You are to help teach others. And now he's reminding him, okay, you've got these three pictures of how you're to understand your calling. And then he says, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, offspring of David, as preached by my gospel, for which I'm suffering, bound with the chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So, how do we endure when there is opposition? Because again, a soldier, if they've been deployed somewhere, there's problems. Something is not as it should be. There's going to be opposition. An athlete, we know they're entering into difficulty. They've got to wake up early when it's in season and out of season. It's difficult. There's opposition. There's pain. There's all those pictures are things that are unpleasant or what they involve. You know, you've got to really have some desire to sign up to be a soldier or an athlete or a farmer. So how do you endure? Why not just throw in the towel? Remember Jesus, risen from the dead, offspring of David. So as preached by my gospel, Jesus, this is ultimate reality. This isn't just signing up for some recreational league. This is a matter of life and death. As it relates to, you know, Olympic Games, even if you get to that level and you compete there, that's a crown that is fading. That's a reward that is fading. Another few years and the names will all be forgotten in whatever event it was. But that's not what this is. This is a soldier, not for a nation state, but for an eternal kingdom. A colony of heaven in the country of death, that we might liberate captives, that they could know the author of life and come into the kingdom of this beloved son who came for us. So remember Jesus. And he says, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. So this is also going to encourage young Timothy when he remembers his mentor who's in prison for the sake of the gospel. Remember Jesus. Remember me, Paul saying. And remember for the sake of the elect that they may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. Remember your brothers and sisters, those who are going to respond to the gospel when they hear it. This is what gives us the ability to endure, to wake up early, to put in the time, to use the self-discipline, because we remember Jesus, we remember those who've gone before us like Paul, and we remember the sake of our brothers and sisters who through our faithfulness as soldiers, as athletes, as farmers, will come to know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ as well. A soldier is wholehearted. An athlete is disciplined. A farmer perseveres for the sake of Jesus Christ that others might know his grace as well. So, Father, we pray that these pictures, that you would form them in our hearts and that they could give us resolve, strengthened by the grace that comes in Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to think about ourselves rightly and the work that you've given us to do. Help us to frame it in biblical categories so that we can be faithful and for the sake of our witness to this world that needs to know you, the God who gave himself that we might live forever. So help us, Lord. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.